God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Alrighty, well, each week at this time, we like to welcome Les Visible to do an audio commentary. He's quite well known across the world through various blogs in which he writes his commentaries, but he's like a musician, a singing, talking poet. There's a passion in when he speaks, and we enjoy when he speaks his piece. So he comes from across the pond, somewhere in Europa, in the mothership, as he says, to bring this week's commentaries, socio-political, metaphysical, from Les Visible.
Aru! And greetings from the concealed saucer pod, indirect link up with the mothership, channeling from the mine gardens of Sirius to a tiny blue-green and troubled world far away. This is a visible origami flavored transmission. Lots of people like the dog poet format, and occasionally I hear otherwise, as if I have trod on a brand name of some sort. Nothing like it. The reality of the matter is that we shall see. It's necessary in this format to have a certain amount of entertainment factor operating. I realize there must be people who don't season their food, but I'm not one of them. I don't do things most of the time unless I get permission, and I certainly don't keep doing them unless I continue to get permission. I get my permission from the one who grants all permission. Once again, I'm sitting here, and I have no idea what I'm going to say, so why don't you listen to a little musical clip? If you're just listening and haven't read Invisible Origami, you'll have to go over there to clip on the music. Now, this is something a reader sent in to me by a group called Show of Hands. I really liked them. It's very interesting. You should give them a look. Anyway, you can do that while I try to isolate the transmission coming in from the mothership, because we now broadcast interdimensionally, as well as along the usual routes. And as a result, we get a higher degree of cross-traffic now, and I have to adjust the filters appropriately. I've been the beneficiary of a week of liquid sunshine pouring down upon me and everything around me here in this cul-de-sac oasis of solitude and self. Each morning when I awaken, it is as if I am awakening twice. Old memories of former states appear, and I remember there were times when I was closer to the heart's desire than I have been, for the most part, over recent years. I press onward within, but it's slow going. I feel like I am on a small boat being tossed about on rolling waters. Little fish keep leaping into the boat, and I have to keep tossing them back into the water. You can think of the ocean as the restless mind and all those fishes as thoughts that penetrate our individual consciousness. It's not as individual as we think it is, but thinking makes it so. Thinking is an act of profound magic, but having taken upon itself the appearance of routine, we don't realize the power that is involved. We can look around us and see the results of thought, fueled by desire, but we don't make the connection for some reason. There's a reason why so many souls have been arriving here. There's a reason for the large population now present on the earth. A lot of people wanted to be here for what's coming. Unfortunately, people forget their reasons for coming once the spectacle of the manifest world impacts on their minds. We're coming to a great crossroads in time and space. We're coming to a place where large highways spin off into various directions and people are going to be on all of them. There's a kind of traffic cop standing at the roundabout from which the highways begin, and he directs the flow according to the composition of the traveler. You go that way, you go this way. No one is forced to go in a particular direction. Everyone agrees with the instructions of the traffic cop. It's the way they want to go after all. He's just facilitating the smooth process of continuance. Ancient traditions and many religious scriptures all talk about this time. In many cases, they pinpoint this time. Other indications that tell you about this time are the tremendous effect of materialism, the breakdown of religions, the prevailing decadence and breakup of natural family connections, the dumbing down feature, and the rise to power of the very worst among us. There are many other signs that can clearly be seen by those with discerning sight. There's a curious disconnect in the human mind that can see things taking place right in front of it, but refuse to accept the natural interpretation of the evidence. It's the same thing with periods of great change. People can see that something is different, but their basic instinct is to hug to their routines. They want normalcy. They want the predictable and the ordinary. They want a life. I'm not knocking this inherent desire in the hearts of the people. I'm just saying they can't see the forest or the trees when it comes to what they want and what they get. There are some who believe that most of the life on Earth is going to end. Others believe not much is going to happen besides more of the same, and it'll be contained and eventually turn into something else. I don't know what's going to happen, but from what I can see and intuit, I think it's going to be very bad and very good depending on what you're up to. Things are going to be judged. In these preliminary days, we are mostly treating with exposure. Nations and individuals are behaving in certain ways for public observation. You might say that the evidence is being demonstrated before the court convenes. You're familiar with the maxim, as above, so below. You could say that there are courts which exist on three different levels, in the infernal kingdom, Middle Earth, and the heavenly realm. A lot of things are the same in all of these places. Only consciousness is very different. People from the realms above can easily visit the realms below should there be a reason. Quite the opposite is true in reverse. This is why it is always better to reach for the heavens within and without while you are clothed in this dreaming flesh. You are going to get what you reach for. Even people of faith find this hard to believe. They're hopeful in believing, but deep inside there is no strong conviction. This is why life puts them through the things they are put through. You might say that life is all about the will of heaven proving its point, even though heaven is not importunate and does not harass you to acknowledge it. As usual, I'm trying to say something without actually coming right out and saying it. I look at these posts and radio shows as something like trigger point massage. The place where your hands are employed is not the same area as the target. Shiatsu and reflexology are similar in this regard. One of them might well make your feet feel good, but that wasn't the primary intent. Right now, you are getting other messages all the time. If you are heavily engaged in viewing print and electronic media, you're getting a lot more of a massage than if you are not. If you live under high tension lines or close to microwave towers, you are also getting a certain kind of massage. If you use cell phones, and some of you are truly impressive in your use of them, you're also getting a massage. If you chant or pray or practice the presence, then too, another massage. If you're in a populous urban setting, your massage is going to be different and more pronounced than if you were out in the countryside. Also, the greater the exterior clamor, the more difficult it is to hear the inner voice. There's a strange irony in this when you consider that it is in the cities where you see the majority of people walking around and talking to themselves. A lot of people are looking for great changes to occur in the world around them. That will surely happen in places, but the greatest changes are going on inside of you. This accounts for much of the uneasiness that is being felt by more sensitive souls. Our inner world is going to be shaken up as well. Here is where the leap of faith will be taken or refused. You will be making a choice whether you want to or not. It is always easier when you are prepared. You can apply this to any life situation with which you are familiar through experience or observation. It applies on the field of sports competition, on the battlefield, and in the workplace. Being prepared always provides a convincing edge. Free will allows that we can move as we choose to some degree. For myself, given past mistakes and occasional victories, I plan on listening for my master's voice like the RCA dog Nipper. Since I have never known where I was headed or what anything meant, I'm inclined to be guided even in the smallest detail. Thus ends the text portion, and now we go to the pure audio. And we're back, as if we never left. But in the nanoseconds between the pause and the progression, worlds have come and gone, albeit they were very tiny worlds, but worlds nonetheless. Such is the nature of time and relativity. We don't know, and perhaps never shall, what size we are and even what we are. From the microcosmic to the macrocosmic, there must be some endless yardstick that measures our place and position in the whole. In relation to some things, our solar system is smaller than what we can see with the naked eye. Much smaller than that, no doubt. But the things inside our heads are large. The insistence of our desires and appetites is immense. Most people will never even have such thoughts. Then there are so many who will have these thoughts for a brief few years until they settle for their place in the matrix. Being an eternal child, I am not myself fit for placement here. Even my sincere efforts to fit in did not accomplish the deed. I thought I was cursed for a long time until I discovered how truly lucky I am. It's not luck, though. Everyone who is anywhere got there by some route and conveyance. Even if the route was one of imagination and the conveyance was their mind and their own 2 feet. In high and rarefied places, there are Buddhas who have created entire worlds from their ceaseless efforts on behalf of humanity. Every god you have heard of and all the ones you have not heard of all have their worlds, and the focus of the mind will automatically open the highway to the object of its attention. So we all wind up where we intended to. Afterwards, we may wish that it had been otherwise, but nothing changes our involvement in it. Today, across and around the world, the focus of most minds is upon pedestrian enterprises. They want to be something. They want to do something. They want to have something. The amount of people actually pondering the meaning of existence and striving for understanding is very few. Go anywhere that people congregate and watch them. Stand near them and hear what they are saying. Sit around them and read what passes in their minds. The young are all filled with flirtatious hope. Those older are beset with the necessities of their roles as they've become established, and those yet older feel the creep of apprehension, which continues to increase with the passage of time. Something has gone missing. Perhaps it is an awareness of something that was not present, but should have been. People turn to one another and appear like fish feeding in an aquarium. The mouths open and close, but there are no sounds. Because humanity will not wake up on its own, and because humanity will not motivate itself to higher ground, it must be awakened and motivated, and that will not happen without some amount of pain. Growth is pain. They say that babies cry for this reason. I go places on occasion just to watch people. I want to see what they're up to and whether they are aware of what is happening. It is very seldom that I meet up with a recognizing eye. I don't wish to be negative or critical of others. It is what I see, and I have some idea what awaits them all, and there is sorrow concerning that and sorrow concerning the fact that I cannot approach them and tell them anything. It will disturb them and feed into the uneasiness that they already are hard at work to suppress. All around the world, there is a small force of light bringers laboring to bring understanding to the minds of the people in the places where they live. These are for the most part unknown and quietly employed at their efforts. On another level are those posing as light bringers who are reaping fortunes at the expense of the desperate and frightened. It is into times like these that the Avatar introduces himself, and he does it at the time of his choosing and without informing anyone ahead of time, though there are some who would be aware, simply because they are waiting on it. That might be the best occupation that anyone could be employed at, waiting for the Avatar and yet engaged in the business of life at the same time, ready to put it all down in a moment, reminding themselves of this every day. We shall all be required to put it down at some point. How much easier it would be if we had prepared ourselves all along the way. The dark side has now engineered these pandemics. They are testing one of them in the Ukraine as I speak. The media is completely ignoring this, but of course, the media is hand in glove with the whole operation. The economy is getting better as the economy gets worse. Peace is coming as war increases. Jobs are appearing as jobs disappear. Truth is fiction, and fiction has become truth, and it is there before your eyes in action every day. The powers and weapons of the Avatar are beyond comprehension. What the Avatar wills and intends will come to pass, and all opposition will pass before it. The very power to think and reason, to feel, to move about, and to engage in anything lies in the hands of the Avatar. With a single thought impulse, he can remove it from whomever he desires. He can turn armies into forests and forests into armies. We have become so immersed in this material world that we have lost our bearings concerning what is possible. We are overflowing with useless information concerning temporary things. We have made trivia into a god. Well, we shall see what we shall see. But the very best thing anyone can do is to be prepared, and that means to live it every day. It does not mean to stockpile canned goods, ammunition, and guns. I don't speak against this practice. I don't know what you might require wherever you're going to be. I'm simply talking about priorities, and the place to begin is to expand your awareness and to seek out what is true in you and to live accordingly. Whatever actions you might take after that would certainly be more informed than any actions you might take without doing this first. The aperture is opening the closer we come. This is a great opportunity for connection ahead of time. What is coming is inclined to be very benevolent toward those keeping watch for it. Therefore, act according to your conscience and grow strong. Well, we've come to the end of yet one more transmission burst, and I thank you for being in attendance and for your attention to the best interests of your less perishable self. Take the time to learn to meditate and employ it, because there's a lot of interesting information coming down at the moment that can be accessed this way. Do your best. This is Visible from Sector 7 Sirius, wishing you safe travels and industries until we are together again, and I will see you next week, if there is one. Aloha. And aru!
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun